Oh, good.
So we do have a quorum. Senator Wilkowski is with us, Senator Olson, myself, Chair Senator Kukash. Today is Thursday. It is a 5 minutes after one. The first bill we have before us is Senate Bill 265, and I'd like to ask the sponsor to please step forward. Name and for the record, affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Transportation Committee. I'm Senator Liesl McGuire, represent District N, South Anchorage. And what I have before you today, Mr. Chairman, is a committee substitute.
And let's go ahead and adopt a committee substitute. Is there a...
I'd so move, Mr. Chair.
Okay, committee substitute. Any objection?
No.
Okay, we do have the committee substitute in front of us. It's committee substitute. Which one is it? C?
E.
E, okay. Senator.
Okay, and so, Mr. Chairman, you had asked me just to put on the record what the bill was, why it was assigned here, and then what it's ultimately doing, so there's a record. The goal of the bill is to try and capture the 1 out of 10 sex offenders who are not registering, not complying with the law of the state of Alaska and the law of all the states requiring registration. And the first attempt that we made at it was modeled after Nevada, and that attempt was to say that when you go into the DMV to get a driver's license, you would have to be sure that you were in compliance with state law. So that's the reason that it was originally referred to the Transportation Committee. In conversations with the Division of Motor Vehicles and the Department of Administration, they do not care to support at this time the Nevada model. So we spent some time, my staff and I and the department, looking at other ways that we might get these 11% in compliance. And the idea that we came up with was using the permanent fund dividend and that application process as a tool. We think it will be less administrative cost, and we think that it'll probably bring even more people in compliance than a driver's license would. There was also the issue of rural Alaska, Mr. Chairman, and the idea that there aren't DMV offices located in all the small communities, and so we wanted to, to address those concerns as well.
Okay. Any questions? It's my recommendation, because it does not have a transportation component to this bill, that we move it on to the next committee of referral, which would be the State Affairs Committee.
I do have one question, okay. Mr. Chairman. Senator McGuire, what was the reason that they decided not to go ahead and follow the Nevada model?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the idea is still out there, and it's not that we won't ever at some point, but the concerns raised primarily centered around rural Alaska, and how would people be able to get in on an annual basis to get that driver's license renewed? And so we thought it might be a hardship that that folks in a state like ours wouldn't be able to overcome. That was one issue. And the other issue is just more of an administrative part of it. DMV is actually under the Department of Administration, not the Department of Public Safety. And they brought up some concerns about the administrative hassle of that. It is something that has worked in Nevada. I will just put on the record that it's been incredibly effective there and something we may want to consider in the future. But we do have this unique tool in the permanent fund dividend, and people want that money. And so we think that there's an incentive there to be sure they're giving the proper address and that they have properly registered. So those are some of the reasons.
Okay. No further questions, Mr. Chair.
And you have no objection?
No objection.
No, the only question I do have, Mr. Chair.
Okay, go ahead.
Just on the title, if there's a, does there need to be a concomitant title change resolution? Or?
Actually, that's a good question.
And I guess you can handle that in State Affairs.
We'll handle that in State Affairs. There might need to be an accompanying title resolution. Yeah.
But I have no objection. I support the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. If there's no objection, then to moving this on to the next committee of referral, could you go ahead and...
I would.
This is Senator Cowdery.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Cowdery, do you have a question?
Yeah. I just want to know, if I understand that they're trying to get everyone to receive the permanent fund, how many is that? How many people is that?
Well, through the chair, Kathy Manfreda's on the line, but the statistics today are roughly, it's between 11 and 10% of all felony sex offenders required to register are not complying. So Kathy, if you were there and could give that number, I would appreciate it.
Through the chair, this is Kathy Montefrida. For the record, I am the Chief of the Criminal Records and Identification Bureau for the Department of Public Safety, which includes the administration of the Sex Offender Registry. They average there daily, there are between 195 and 305 offenders who are out of compliance with the sex offender registration process. These are the ones that we'd be targeting. We did a quick study today and looked at 40 out of compliance offenders, and two-thirds of them had in fact applied for a 2007 dividend, whereas on the driver's license side, only half of them that we looked at had a valid driver's license or identification card.
Great.
Thank you. Did that answer your question, Senator Cowdery?
Well, through the chair, Senator Cowdery, we're working on what the process will actually be. That'll be a regulation writing process, but we don't envision it to be some sort of background check or anything. It's just that if your name pops up as somebody who's out of compliance, that there would be a verification process at that level. So we're not envisioning it to be some sort of screen on every dividend applicant that takes some amount of, you know, detail or investigation.
I'm just reading from your sponsor statement. It says SB 255 would require that anyone applying for their permanent fund dividend be screened against the Department of Public Safety sex offender registry, period.
Okay, go ahead for the record, please, your name and affiliation.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Trevor Fulton. I'm staff for Senator Lisa McGuire. And to Senator Cowdery through the chair. Senator Cowdery, what you're reading there in the sponsor statement probably refers, and I apologize for the lack of clarity there is there, but that's probably referring to the model we were looking at with the Department of Motor Vehicles, where every time you went in to renew or to get a driver's license for the first time, your record, there would be an electronic query sent to the sex offender registry, and this would be for everybody. And that query would either come back with a 0, a 1, or a 2. If it came back a 0, it meant you were not a convicted sex offender. If it came back a 1, it meant you were a convicted sex offender and you were in compliance. If it came back a 2, you would be a convicted sex offender who was out of compliance. Now, we may or may not go ahead with a similar system for the permanent fund dividend folks, but we're still working out the details on that.
Okay, thank you. I just got my eye on the sponsor statement.
Okay, thank you, Senator Cowdery. Senator Wilikowski?
Is there a new fiscal note from public permanent fund?
We've requested a fiscal note. We just haven't received it yet.
Forthcoming.
Yeah.
Has the permanent fund taken a position on this? Do you know?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, our understanding is they don't oppose it. They're working with us, though, to make sure that the administrative process is set up in a way that works with their business practices.
Any other questions?
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilikowski.
Mr. Chair, with regard to SB 265, I would make a motion that we pass this bill on to the next committee of referral, along with attached accompanying fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you. Is there an objection?
No.
Hearing none, then we'll do that. Thank you very much, Senator, for being here. We'll take a 5-minute at ease so we can sign the a document. And the next bill. Oh, go ahead. I'll wait. Will be SB 190, and if we could have the individual sponsor please come forward. Name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Stancliffe, aide to Senator Terrio, and hello to my good friend Senator Cowdery out there that's with us today. Mr. Chairman, we did have a CS prepared.
Yes, I'd like to ask for the committee to adopt a CS if we could.
Mr. Chairman, I move.
Purposes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt CS for Senate Bill 190, which is /C.
Okay, is there an objection? Seeing or hearing no objection, we are on /C.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this CS, we addressed a couple of the concerns that were raised at the last committee meeting. One, with regard to carriers that operate in the state and do not fly outside the state, and recognizing that there are a lot of people in rural Alaska that move about without having the opportunity, perhaps, to comply with the contents of the bill. We put on line 8, page 1, receiving a ticket to a destination outside the state from an airline employee. And then on the second change that was made would be on page 2, lines 3 through 5. We had received some concerns from the Department of Health and Social Services, but realizing that it may be a wider net that is affected than just that agency, the drafter suggested the use of the word state resident, or does not apply to a state resident not younger who is in the legal physical custody of the state as opposed to a particular agency. And with those changes, Mr. Chairman, we have received from Department of Law a short memo on some of the issues that probably will be raised in judiciary that have to do with constitutionality. We'll probably be taking those up and working our way through those issues. If there's any questions on the amendments to the CS, I'm here to try to provide answers.
Okay, thank you. Questions for the sponsor, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stancliffe, as we look at some of the fixes that have been there, you're talking about people that are primarily, I guess, traveling on Alaska Airlines with out-of-state connections or destinations via the, have you talked to any of the other carriers that are also providing service out of state, whether it's one of the local charter operators that goes from either Barrow or Fairbanks over to Inuvik and Aklavik in that area, or Air North that goes from Fairbanks over to Whitehorse?
We have not, and I'm assuming that if people are traveling out of country, that they would have to have proper credentials because of the going to a different jurisdiction. This, we address this primarily to another state, so we have not contacted them.
Mr. Chairman, I think the question has more to do with the permission from the parents and the burden that's going to be on the carriers for that. Some of the carriers obviously aren't even certificated here in the United States. They're Canadian certificated, like Air North.
Mr. Chairman, we have done a little bit of research. Some carriers, like Qantas, require IDs for people of every age just because they feel they don't want the liability of being put in a position of having something happen to a minor, and they were responsible for part of what happened to the minor. Era Aviation has different standards than Alaska. The one thing they all seem to have in common is there's something magical about the age 13, because under that age, all carriers are required to have some ID or permission slip, but from 13 to 17, there's the gap in there. And strictly a policy call, obviously, for you, the policymakers, as to how far you want this to apply and how much of a burden you feel it will place on the carriers. We had hoped that the carriers would see this as favorable in terms of limiting their liability should anything happen to a minor that doesn't have proper ID or permission in a flight that goes down. I would think that their liability would be much greater without this legislation than it would be with it.
Okay, thank you. Did you see a copy of the Alaska Air Carriers Association letter?
I did just about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, we just got it a little while ago, too, and we made an effort to contact Alaska Airlines and Alaska Air Carriers Association to get a reaction, and the reaction from the Air Carriers Association is not favorable. What is your impression?
I think in obviously their position is well taken with regard to the types of flying that they do. They did say that we had addressed part of the concern, I guess, in terms of the intrastate. So I think some of their concerns no longer apply with the adoption of the CS. I don't know which.
Actually, we gave them a copy of the CS before they replied.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm a little bit confused then as to how they think it would still that they would still fall under this this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the air carriers, I think they should have somebody that's online that's going to be testifying this afternoon. Do they not?
Do we have anybody online?
Nobody's online for 190.
Online, no.
Okay. the other concern that I have is under the Department of Administration, the Office of DMV in Nome has had its office closed because of no personnel being hired there, and that's a real concern about them just trying to get ID. Obviously, we're going internationally, and where we go out of Nome primarily is over to Russia. We've got one 135 carrier over there that goes over there. They're dealing with passports, and so that's not the issue there. But I think the idea that it's hard to get any kind of driver's license, let alone an ID, is the other handicap that the air taxi operators are concerned about.
Did you hear from Alaska Airlines? We've got the old letter from the old CS from them, and we had sent them a copy of the new CS and wanted to get an input from them, but haven't heard back. I'm sure we'll hear back sometime this afternoon, but we haven't yet, unless you have something.
I do have their representative down here handed us a letter that was faxed down here on the 28th. They're expressing some of the logistical concerns that they would have if this were to be implemented. And they're also seem to be basing their objections on the fact that we being those of us in Alaska, should not go further than what's required under the TSA and the existing airline regulations. Now, I can say that my research into what people have done in other airlines in other states, Mr. Chairman, the policies are all over the place. Many major air carriers are stricter than TSA. And again, I think it's part of a liability question that they're thinking about. Many stick just straight to what they're absolutely required to do. So, of course, the question then becomes, who's going to be responsible for that minor should something go wrong?
Okay. Questions from members of the committee? Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the time.
Senator Cowdery, yes, please go ahead if you have a question.
The Alaska Airlines that I talked to, last Saturday, they definitely was opposed to the bill, but I'd just like to ask some questions on, do you have to have a written permission from somebody to make it work?
Mr. Chairman, this bill is written. The CS would require that permission be granted by a parent or a guardian, yes.
I raised kids, and they wrote a lot of letters and forged our name to school aides. I wonder how you would compensate that. I think a lot of kids forged their mothers and fathers' signature for less important things, but have you discussed that possibility? How would you verify that it's parent's signature or guardian's signature?
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, having been a clever kid once myself, there is virtually no way you can guarantee that a child won't find a way to get on board an aircraft and maybe forge anything from a credit card to you name it. It was interesting when I did a Google on this and just under a standard search, Senator Cowdery, the first question that came up under Yahoo for how do I travel as a child on the airlines was a young lady saying my boyfriend he's 16, he wants to come and see me Can you tell me how I can get him here and what airlines he can use? And I don't know if the parents were involved at all, but I suspect if the kids were like we were, maybe they weren't at that point. So this is a tough call. We recognize it.
I think this bill needs a little bit more work on it. But anyway, I appreciate it. By the way, I've seen our mutual friend Willow up on the hill there today.
Well, wonderful.
Say hi.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions for the sponsor?
No.
Thank you very much. Do we have anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Yes, please come forward and state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, committee members. For the record, my name is Mike Lessman. I'm the Community Relations Manager and Legislative Liaison for the Department of Health and Social Services, Office of Children's Services. Mr. Chairman, I'm here primarily just to show my support for the committee substitute that you have for this bill right now, primarily the language that would exempt those children that are in the state's custody and the custody of the Department of Health and Social Services. Speaking just for that one state department, the kids that are traveling to and fro and are in state's custody, of course, are not unaccompanied. They are with sometimes their biological parent, oftentimes a blood relative, grandpa, grandma, aunt, uncle, a foster parent, or perhaps one of our own staff. So they're moving with adults. They have paperwork with them and identifications with them. And if the bill were to become law in its current form, we would have some concerns about being able to act in a child's best interests quickly and maybe run the risk of trying to locate or trying to get consent from a birth parent to do what's right and get that child on the plane.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Wilikowski, please.
Does the Palin administration support this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I'm sorry, would you repeat that?
Does the Palin administration support this bill as a whole, if you're able to answer that?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I can only address the CS, the exemption in the CS for the Department of Health and Social Services, and that's all I'm prepared to tell you we support.
Senator Olson? Senator Cowder, you have any questions? If not, thank you very much for your...
I think the only thing I'd have, I think the bill needs some more work.
Okay, thank you, Senator Cowdery. Thank you very much, Mr. Lesman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Do we have anybody online?
No.
Okay. What's the wish of the committee? I will close public testimony and go back to what are the wishes of the committee?
I'm not moving this bill. Okay. I'm not certainly not in favor of it.
Uh-huh. Well, I think as a chairman, I've heard Senator Cowdery say it needs a little bit more work, and I would appreciate a little bit more time to spend some time with the Air Carriers Association, if not other airlines, at least the Air Carriers Association, so we can alleviate some of the concerns they have. I'm not an aviator or involved in that at all, but I'd like to have the comfort of the Carriers Association to give me some direction on this. So if you wouldn't mind addressing their letter in after the meeting and then spending some time with Karen and telling us whether or not you can come to a point of having her support the bill or having some support that could give us some comfort at the committee level, we'd appreciate it. With that, we're going to hold this bill. Thank you. The next bill that will be for us is Senate Bill 189.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave Stancliffe once again, aide to Senator Terrio, addressing now Senate Bill 189. Senator Terrio, in speaking with those in DOT who are concerned about the most important component of our highway system, especially in light of some of the construction and progress that's being made and anticipated in the future, there are a number of bridges throughout the state, many in your district, Mr. Chairman, and others, that have been investigated since the bridge disaster that happened in the lower 48, and have been identified as bridges that are at risk and need serious work. And I think provided to the committee was a packet with pictures of those various bridges. Information was requested by Senator Cowdery at the last meeting, and I believe DOT has provided the information that he had requested. And there is no doubt that this is just a starting point. There are many bridges throughout the state, some on local service road areas and others on our main arterial system. I think DOT should be commended for trying to identify those that need the work the quickest. And we would appreciate the support of the committee in moving this forward.
Thank you. The next committee referral would be the Finance Committee?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the committee? We've had a hearing on this once already. And yes, go ahead, Senator Cowdery.
Has the administration requested this amount of money for these bridges, or is it in their request that are capital budget or anything? And secondly, how much federal dollars would be involved in this 2500 project if we fund it, if any?
Your name and record for the your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Frank Richards, Deputy Commissioner for Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Senator Cowdery, if I understand your question correctly, the bill as written asks for an appropriation coming from the legislature, and it's for the general fund. So this bill doesn't identify federal funding. We currently have a federal funding through our Federal Highway Administration that provides us specifically for bridge funding. However, as you may have heard in the testimony previously, that funding is already allocated, and there are greater needs than we have available resources. So in support of this bill, it would allow us to have funding to be able to address some of those bridges that currently have structural deficiencies and needs, but are currently not in the near term on the spending plan.
The federal spending
plan. On the federal spending plan, that's correct.
Okay. Senator Wilikowski.
So the administration does support this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, we do support the bill.
Did you, if I could follow, Mr. Chair, did you request this money in the general fund?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, we did not request this appropriation amount in the general fund as a part of our capital budget. It was Senator Terrio who forwarded this bill.
Okay. Did you, I mean, because you know you can just put in a request for $35 million into your bill or into a supplemental appropriation. You're aware of that, right?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, yes, we are aware of the budget process.
I guess I'm just wondering why you didn't do that.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, in preparing the operating budget and the capital budget for the federal or the fiscal year 09, we did have guidance from the governor's office in terms of the level of the capital budget that the governor was willing to put forward for general fund. And subsequent to that, there was additional bills that were put forward, both the GO bond package for approximately $121 million worth of highway needs, and then the Alaska Transportation Fund, which was creating the endowment, which would create approximately a $50 million a year earnings that could be used to cover transportation needs across the state, both highways, airports, anything transportation.
Any other questions? Any other questions, Senator Cowdery? Do you have any other questions?
No, it just seemed to me that this amount of money, we should get as much leverage out of that kind of cash as we can. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Just one comment, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Senator Cowdery that this kind of money, we're dealing with some serious cash here, and not leveraging a whole lot, I guess, seems counterintuitive. But I guess if the governor's, if the administration is in favor of it and is not being asked for, I find that somewhat contradictory in the approach. I mean, I'm certainly in favor of fixing the bridges because I don't want any of them collapse. I don't want pictures of, you know, circulating around internationally like we saw what happened there in Minneapolis. But it just seems like the approach is a little lacking. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any other, you want to add any more?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? If not, do we have anybody online, off-site? No? Okay. What we have before us then is Senate Bill 189, and we've had this our second hearing on the bill. The next committee referral would be the Finance Committee. What's the wish of the committee?
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and move that we move Senate Bill 189 from Transportation to Finance with accompanying fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you. Is there an objection? Hearing no objection, that is moved, and that is all we have on our agenda this afternoon. We're adjourned. Thank you.